idea whether it was. This morning I want to bring a message I've entitled, Let Freedom Ring. And we're going to use the word ring as our outline. As Ken kind of alluded to, we live in this nation where independence is a huge thing. And sometimes I'm afraid it might be a little larger than it ought to be, because it has almost created a mindset among many people that I can be completely independent and I don't even need God. And living a life of independence outside of God is, well, all you have to do is turn on the news to see what that looks like. And so even as we celebrate our independence as a nation, it's important that we let freedom ring in a manner that honors God and allows for our dependence upon Him. I'm going to be kind of centered around James chapter 1, beginning at verse 19. And in the passage I'm going to read, and the reason that I chose that, in the center of it, we'll get to that more specifically, but there's a verse that talks about gazing into the perfect law which gives freedom. And so many times I know law and freedom don't typically come up in the same sentence, in my mind at least. We almost think of those as opposite things. The law restricts us. And specifically in this culture that we live in the day that we live in, we're under a lot of restrictions and have been under a lot of restrictions that the law has kind of put upon us. Supposedly for our own good and for the good of others. And so to think of the law that gives freedom, we read that and we think, well, that's, how can that be right? And so let's take a look at James chapter 1, beginning at verse 19. My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in whatever he does. If anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Would you pause and pray with me for a moment? Father, as we consider your word this morning and consider what it teaches us as an individual on how to live with a freedom that rings across this land, may we begin with a freedom that rings true in our life. And may we declare to this nation, to our community, to our family, to our neighbors, that true freedom can be found in Christ. And may we live as those who really have been set free. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. Amen. As I was thinking about Let Freedom Ring, and we live in a time where we're kind of bombarded with trouble. Probably a mild word to put it. We have the whole pandemic thing. and everything that goes along with that, and all of the varying beliefs and disagreements. It says if all of the experts agreed, it would be one thing. And I could kind of accept that and say, okay, this is what everybody says. This is the right approach. But we live in a time where the experts that have the exact same credentials as one another have different opinions on what we ought to be doing. And we think, well, how can I live in the freedom that God has given me when they have no idea what I ought to do? And then you add to the pandemic all of the social unrest and the calls for justice and to fight injustice and everything that's kind of wrapped around racial divisions. And we think, where did that come from? Well, it's been present in our culture probably forever. And it's had different faces and different divisions. And sometimes it's based on race, sometimes it's based on economics, sometimes it's based on gender. It's based on a lot of things, but we're pretty good as a people of kind of choosing sides. I'm a little young to have caught a whole lot of it, but one of my favorite Christian artists from a generation ago is when I was first introduced is a man named Larry Norman. And at one point he had a song, and there's a line in it that always sticks with me. There's a lot of lines in his songs that stick with me, but one of them was this, it says, we claim all men are equal and all men are brothers, but why do the rich seem more equal than others? And we can substitute rich for a lot of different things. And as believers in Christ, as those who have been called to let freedom ring, we really have to examine our own life, not someone else's, not our neighbors, not the politicians, not whoever, but our own life and say, how am I living at allowing freedom to ring in their life? How am I living at treating my brothers and sisters in Christ as equals, as bought by the same blood that I've been bought with? No matter whether they look or act or sound anything like me or not. You see, when we let freedom ring, we say, God's in charge. I did a devotional earlier this morning, and I talked about this idea of living with Christ as the head. And because my head is kind of controls what I do, when I got up this morning, my foot was still tired. It wasn't going to stay in bed no matter what. My head said, body, get up and get moving. You've got things to do. And it doesn't matter how much my foot objected to that. It was going to get up and it was going to move. But so many times as members of the body of Christ, the head says, body, get up and move. Do something. Light a fire under that chicken or whatever you need to do. But because of our free will, we kind of have the ability that my foot doesn't have. My foot just doesn't have the ability to stay home if my head says go. But as parts of the body of Christ, we have the ability to not do what the head says. And that creates a very dysfunctional body. A body that does not reflect the freedom of Christ well. So as we look at this idea of let freedom ring, what does that look like for you and me as individuals? Well, I think the first part is we let freedom rule. It's in charge. The first two verses that we read, James 1, 19 and 20, says, my dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. When freedom rules, it means that we're concerned about one another. My mom taught me from the first I can remember hearing about this is that my rights, my freedoms end at the point that they trample on somebody else's. And when we let freedom rule, we begin to recognize I must be quick to listen. When freedom rules, it says, I have to understand what the other person is going through. When freedom rules, it means that person has freedom as well as I have freedom. And it requires my listening to them so that there's an understanding of how they're living the freedom that God has given them. Quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. That's, to me, the rule of freedom. It says I don't use my freedoms to trample on the rights of someone else. The rule of freedom says that God is in charge. In Colossians 3, verse 15, Paul writes and says, let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, since as members of one body, you were called to peace, and be thankful. When we let freedom ring, we let the peace of Christ, the freedom of Christ, rule in our hearts because we're one body. It's okay to have differences of opinion on matters of opinion. If we need correction on matters of truth, on matters of Scripture, then we're called to do that for one another. But so much of the arguments that we get into, whether it's in church or out in public, is just because I don't like it that way. And when freedom rules, then freedom rules for all of us. And it says, let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. Things don't have to go my way all the time. I may want them to, but they don't have to. And when freedom rings in my life, it rules over my emotions. It rules over my decisions. It rules over the things that I do. But not simply as an individual, but as a part of the body. You see, the body operates when it operates under the head. And we're operating with the freedom that we have in Christ. And the purpose of the freedom we'll get to in a little while. But it's not about us. I'll clue you in on that. As we let freedom ring, we let freedom rule our life. The freedom of in Christ and the freedom of Christ. Not a personal selfish freedom, but a God-based, Christ-based freedom. We also let freedom inspect. You see, it's one thing to look at others, and we're pretty good at doing that. But how often do we sit with God and inspect our own life? James chapter 1, verse 21 says, therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Now, what does it take to get rid of all moral filth and the evil that's so prevalent? Well, I would say probably the first thing that it takes is a recognition that it's there. We're not going to get rid of something we don't recognize as even present in our life or is even a problem. And as we let freedom ring, we begin to let the freedom of Christ inspect our life for anything that doesn't belong. For anything that would be objectionable to God. See, when we align our life with Christ, when we align our life with the freedom that we have in Christ, we begin to look for things. Paul talks about, I have all this freedom, but not all of it is beneficial. I could do this, but it really wouldn't benefit myself. It wouldn't benefit others. And as we let freedom ring, we begin to inspect, how does my use of the freedoms I have represent Jesus? I can say that. I can post that on social media. I can share this thing that I thought was funny. I have the freedom to do that. But I also have the freedom and ought to make use of the freedom to inspect what result that's going to bring about. Will it bring about peace or will it bring about division? Will it increase hope? Or will it increase anger? You see, as we begin to inspect our life, Proverbs 20, verse 11, says that even a child is known by his actions, by whether his conduct is pure and right. You see, so many times we think, well, I have this freedom of Christ. It doesn't matter what I do. I can live however I want because Christ has set me free. And God says, that's not quite the way it works. As a representative of Jesus, people are watching you. People are looking to you. And as the verse I read from Proverbs says, even a child is known by his actions. And so many times we live one way, we act one way, and we want people to treat us in a whole different way. We can be rude and mean and angry all the time, and we want people to treat us with kindness and respect, and we wonder why they don't. And presenting the gospel, it's one of the things I always talk about when share the verse, I believe it's out of Peter, that says to always be ready to give an answer for the hope that lies within you. And sometimes we hear that and it says, well, I've got an answer, all right, and you're going to hear it. And we forget the last half of that says, but to do so with gentleness and respect. You see, we let freedom ring when we inspect our life as, how is the freedom I have in Christ being expressed to others? What is it that they're seeing? What's in my life that needs to be gone? Years ago, and as the years pass, it seems like it was a whole different life. But my first job away from the farm after high school was for a commercial roofing crew. And these guys were some rough guys. I've talked about them before, I think. Very much into alcohol addiction and drug addiction and everything else. And, you know, it's a wonder they managed to function during the day. But every night, I mean, it didn't matter how long we worked. I mean, we were working sun up to sometimes after sundown. But they'd stop at the bar before we went home. And I ended up, because number one, I wasn't into that scene. And number two, I was underage anyhow. I ended up being the designated driver, because by the time they were actually ready to go back to the shop, none of them were in a position to drive. And sometime into that, the owner of the company, the boss, it was a small company to start with, said, you know, I've interacted with a lot of people from the church in town, and you're the first one that hasn't joined us. And you're the first one that's held to your convictions. But you've never treated me poorly for the way I've lived. And you see, when we begin to inspect our life, it's easy to inspect the lives of others and say, that's sinful behavior. That's wrong. You shouldn't do that. It's a lot more difficult to inspect our life and say, that needs to go. That shouldn't be here. That's downright sinful. This, well, it just doesn't represent Jesus well. And as we let freedom ring, we take the freedom we have in Christ and we begin to let it rule over our life. We begin to let it inspect every aspect of how we live life. And we also let it nurture us. James 1, chapter 1, verses 22 through 25, that whole passage of the mirror, find this fascinating as a guy that doesn't usually spend a lot of time in front of the mirror. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. Now that part I can identify with. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in whatever he does. There are so many times that we look at the law of freedom, the law of Christ. And so many times that we mention the law of Christ, we mention the law of God. Probably to the vast majority of people, if it brings anything to their mind at all, their first response is going to be thinking of the Ten Commandments. That they hear the idea of the law of God, and the first thing that comes to mind is a list of thou shalt not. Don't do that. And that is a part of the law of God, but James writes, he says, the perfect law of God is a law that gives freedom. It's a law that says, do. It's a law that says, live. It's a law that says, share. It's a law that says, represent Jesus. And all of the thou shalt nots are kind of put there, and Scripture says it was there as a schoolmaster, as a teacher, to help us see how we ought to live, but it was a law that was there to really set us free. I've read there's studies out that talk about school playgrounds, that it's been discovered that if you put a fence around a school playground, that children will typically spread out all over the playground. They will be playing along the fence. They will be playing at every square inch of that playground that they can find. You take that same playground and remove the fence, and for the most part, you will find the children clustered in one area. There's something about that boundary that gives them freedom to explore every inch of that property that they can be on. But with the lack of the boundary, all of a sudden, there's uncertainty in their mind. And they begin to wonder, can I really go that far? Is that acceptable? Is that allowed? And in a sense, the perfect law that gives freedom, God says, here's the fence, here's the boundary. Be free. Roam. Enjoy life. You know the boundaries. Don't go beyond that. And you're safe. You're protected. And this perfect law, as we let freedom ring, we let it nurture our life. We let it influence everything that we are. James says, you know, to know the Word of God is, I guess, a good thing, but if you're not doing it, it's kind of a pointless thing. To look at yourself in a mirror isn't a bad thing if you want to be presentable in public, but to walk away and not know whether you've made the corrections that need to be made is kind of makes it pointless to even look at it to begin with. And he says, the one that gazes intently into the perfect law of God and does what it says is the one that will be blessed in whatever he does. You see, we're nurtured as we let freedom ring. We let freedom nurture our very soul. We let freedom set us free to do the things God has called us to do. You see, living in Christ means we let freedom rule our life. We let freedom inspect our life. We let freedom nurture our life. Galatians 5, verse 13. It says, you, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. You see, that nurturing of our life that comes through freedom is not just about nurturing us. It's about us nurturing others. You see, we have the freedom to our opinions, but we also have the freedom to listen to others. To serve them, the Bible says, according to their needs, not according to my needs. And we let the freedom we have nurture us, but the whole point of letting freedom ring in our life is the final point of we let freedom glorify God in our life. James chapter 1, verse 27, the last verse that we read earlier. A religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. God says, this is the kind of freedom that glorifies me. When you care for one another, when you look after those who are helpless, those who are oppressed, those who have no voice in your culture, when you care about them, you bring glory to the Father. And God says, you have all of the freedom that you need. to keep yourself pure from being polluted by the world. You have all of the freedom that you need to care for the outcast. But the question comes, will you use it to do that? To bring glory to Him. Romans chapter 6, verses 22 and 23. It says, but now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. You see, you've been set free from sin, and that's that tension between freedom and slavery in Christ. Jesus was teaching the Pharisees specifically, and those were the kind of his target group, and he talks about living as slaves and being set free. And these religious leaders were just offended to no end. Oh, what are you talking about? We have never been slaves in our life. And Jesus says, yeah, you're slaves of your father. Oh, our father's Abraham. Now, if Abraham was your father, you would do the things that he said. You would do the things that he taught. You would do the things that are of Abraham, but you're doing things of your father, the devil. Oh boy, that made them mad. But Jesus made it clear that, and we don't like the word slaves, and particularly in this day and age of all of the characteristics that go with that, but he says, you're either a slave to sin or you're a slave to righteousness. You're either in submission to that which destroys, or you're in submission to that which gives life. And as we let freedom ring, we recognize that freedom in Christ is meant for us to glorify God. If we're using the freedom that we have in Christ in any way that does not glorify God, then I believe we're misusing it. If we're using the freedom we have in Christ in ways that, well, damage people, then we're probably misusing it. And I'm not saying everybody's going to look at the freedom we have in Christ and say, wow, look at God. Even when we use the freedom we have in Christ to serve one another in love, to care for the widows and orphans in their distress, to do the things that God has called us to do, there are those who are serving their father, the devil, who aren't going to be happy. And so I'm not saying there won't be detractors and there won't be opposition. But if the opposition, and the Bible talks about if we suffer for doing wrong, if we suffer because, well, we're arrogant, if we suffer because we've treated people poorly, then that's kind of on us. But if we suffer for doing what's right, if we suffer for living and loving as Christ has lived and loved us, he says the blessing you receive from him is more than the little glimpse of suffering that you're experiencing now. It will make the current suffering seem so insignificant that it's not worth mentioning. You see, we live life as we let freedom ring. We live life in free in Christ as we live life to glorify Christ. So many times I think, and I talk with people about this a lot, those that I do a lot on social media, a lot of the ministry I do is especially in these days, social media based. And I always talk to people, I encourage them, whatever you put on there, whether it's something you're putting on that's original from you, whether it's something that you see somebody else that you're wanting to share, whether it's just you commenting on something someone else has shared, ask yourself, Does this bring glory to God? Does this build up somebody? Does this encourage a brother or sister that's struggling? Does this help anything? Or is this just me spouting off? Is this just me being arrogant? Is this me trying to make a point that isn't mine to make? You see, the freedom that we have, I have the freedom to post whatever I want. And that's sometimes the response I'll get when I talk to people about monitoring their usage. Yes, you have the freedom to, but is it really the freedom God has set you free for? Is it a freedom that brings Him glory, that honors Him, that represents Jesus well? The Bible says if we lift up Jesus, that He will draw people to Himself. And sometimes I will look at my life and I wonder how many people have been drawn to Jesus because I've lifted Him up. How many people have been turned away from Jesus because I've lifted myself up? It's a tough thing to really wrestle with. Is my life glorifying God or is it glorifying me? You see, today as we consider the freedom that we have in Christ, will you let freedom rule? God's freedom. Will you let God's freedom inspect your life and then do something about what it finds? Will you let God's freedom nurture you, train you, teach you? And will you let God's freedom bring glory to Himself? I want to close with a poem I wrote 5 years ago. I used it with a sermon 5 years ago, so it was probably shared here as well then. But it's a poem that I entitled Freedom. As we celebrate the 4th of July, how many people will ask themselves why? The time off of work and cookouts are great, but what is the reason that you celebrate? The land of the brave and home of the free. Do we live like that? Is that what you see? We lock all our doors. We're afraid to go out. And sharing the truth causes people to shout. Somehow we think, if I'm louder than they, then all of the people must do things my way. The laws pile up, the rules list grows long, and all it creates is more chance to do wrong. We all want our freedom to do what we like, from the old and the gray to the littlest tyke. You can't tell me different, I'll do it my way. I have my rights, is what we all say. And so it is strange when we go to the Word and see freedom defined like we've never heard. You must surrender to truly be free and live to serve others so that Jesus they see. There is no freedom that is worth the cost if I do what I want and still remain lost. So I set my mind firmly to live it like I should. Trusting God's Son has freed me as only He could. God's given His Spirit so that I can live free. The fruit it produces ought to be seen in me. Love, joy, peace, and patience. Kindness and goodness too. Being faithful and gentle with self-control as my view. God says this is freedom. Against such things there's no law. We're set free by the Son from sin's cold, deadly claw. So please remember, if it's freedom you need, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you that you have set us free in Christ. Help us, not just this day, but each day that we live, to let freedom ring truly in our life. May freedom in Christ be the thing, the driving force that rules our life. May it inspect every part of what we do and say and think and how we live. May that freedom nurture us and train us and teach us, correct us when we need correcting. And may all of that be done, Father, to the glory of Jesus, that He would be seen and heard in us, and that many would be drawn to Him through our testimony. It's in His name that I pray. Amen.